Experience is knowing you don't want to do breakfast radio anymore. If you're after experience when selling your house with no commission, check out upside.com.au.
Fuck, I love Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
It sure is. Welcome to our very first hump day, everybody, here at Kennedy Malloy on this big Wednesday. Big show today, Jane.
Big show.
Are you pumped?
Hello,
are you excited?
Everyone.
Are you ready to go?
Of course, I'm super pumped.
It's massive. We're going to have a showbiz report featuring the work of Adele and Mariah Carey.
The one and only. We've got a new segment, Mickey.
Yep.
It's called Between the Sheets.
Between the Sheets.
With Mick and Jane. Could get a bit saucy.
Could get a bit saucy. I think we'll all need cigarettes at the end of that segment. Don't you worry about that. Dave O'Neill is going to swing by.
Excellent.
We're going to have a look at Muck Up Day and Muck Up Day antics. Have they gone too far? Boys in dresses. What the hell?
What's going on in this crazy
not in my day,
world?
Not in my day.
And Instagram. Who do you follow?
Who do you follow on Instagram? Yeah. We're going to put it out there. We're going to have a look at our own Instagram site.
We
I've
are.
Just put our beer fridge up.
That takes up a lot of our time just rearranging that beer fridge and the contents, I have to say.
It's funny how our prep for our show goes, because that was pretty much the hour before it going to air.
That's where we have our best teamwork, I would say.
Rearranging the beer fridge, trying to work out if there was room for a punnet of strawberries.
Well, seeing as there's about seven bottles of booze, of champagne, Chardonnay.
We found a space.
We did. And anyway. Also, Mick, you can't put Pinot in a fridge, just saying. You were trying. Were you suggesting?
You took me to a place near your, a little bar near your house
that has it
on tap.
It does. Have the paint on tap.
What on tap? I can't. Geez, it didn't take Jane long to find this joint.
Yeah. I'm a fancy girl. You know that.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Good news. We're in the paper today. Well, I say good news. It's usually good news.
I didn't say it's only in Confidential.
No, and that's usually for me.
Oh, in the showbiz section on Wednesday. That's what they have in the Herald Sun.
I normally go straight to Confidential and court rounds.
Crime Stoppers. It's also another spot.
I'm in there. No, if you keep leafing through, you'll get to the business section.
What?
There's a big picture of you and me standing in front of a Triple M sign.
Oh, hang on.
Under the headline, Weaker Signal from Radio.
What's that?
What the hell?
What's going on? I don't like seeing...
Somebody come and see me in my office. There's a story about how FM radio is a bit soft in the metro area.
Interesting. Oh, okay.
But then it says, you know, but we're like a white knight riding into town. Good luck.
No pressure.
It's all resting on your shoulders. What's happening?
It makes it look like we've driven it into the ground.
After 3 days. I'm happy with that.
It's like, it took 3 days and we've destroyed FM radio.
Oh, I thought it might take less than that. Never mind.
But, you know, I'm used to being in the papers from time to time.
Yes.
My favourite, and I'm used to being in the financial pages.
Really?
Too. In fact.
That's unusual.
Do you know... Well, I've affected a share price before.
Have you?
At Channel 9. Do you know that I did a show called The Nation on Channel 9?
Yes, I remember
this
one.
The night before my show went to air, mm-hmm. James Packer sold all his shares in the
Is that true?
It's true. And then it was after the Mick Malloy show.
Yeah. We know what happened
there. Went 8 episodes. The 8 very good episodes.
There's another Packer link there too, isn't there?
There is. I think he had something to do with that.
Yep.
But the Age put out a copy of the newspaper the day after, which had me in every section.
Oh.
So I was on the front page because it's a disaster. Flop, massive flop, bang. So there's a banner of me on the front page.
Yes.
There's a picture of me on the third page, like behind barbed wire. I don't know how they got it. I don't even think you could Photoshop in those days. Then you get to the entertainment section.
Yeah.
Somehow I got crowbarred into an article in the sports section. It was a guy saying, these guys are having a bad year. Almost as bad as Mick Malloy.
Oh.
Who'd obviously get the wooden spoon.
So they bung another photo.
And I'm telling you, if I'd had a car for sale in the motoring section, I would have been described as a shit heap. So, no surprises
me. Well, look, you know, my dad will be happy with that, even though it says he'll put that in the scrapbook.
Will he?
Yeah. He'll put
Did you have a scrapbook? Didn't you keep a scrapbook?
I started to years ago.
This is back in the day.
Yeah, back in the day. I started a scrapbook and it stopped after about 2 years.
It
came to a screeching halt. But my dad has collated Lord knows what. I've been in strange sections. Your say, I think I've been in. Sudoku.
Guess who?
Popped up here.
Guess who? Don't sue.
Yeah. Something
well,
like that.
I'm ready there.
All right. We've got a big show, Mickey, coming up.
We do have a big show.
Exactly. Stick
wait,
around. We've got our very, well, this is officially our first segment.
Is it a segment? This is going to be a regular segment,
I
is
think
it?
So.
Or we'll do it from time to time?
I think so, Mick, because we're experts in this area.
And it's advice for people out there who can
advice.
Get involved. 133353 if you've got an issue you'd like us to attend to.
Absolutely. This is a segment we like to call Between the Sheets.
Close the door. Turn out the lights. Fluff the pillow. It's time to get Between the Sheets with Mick and Jay.
Right.
Feeling a bit hot and sweaty already. Look, no, there's actually some very serious issues.
Dave, could you?
The doctors are in the house.
The doctors are in the house.
What are we doing? We're sex therapists for you.
We're going to do this. Consider us counsellors.
Absolutely.
Consider us an anonymous voice. Someone you can call on from time to time. Just roll out your troubles. We'll have a bit of a snigger. Use it.
Well, I was going to say we're going to be very mature.
We will
about
be mature.
We will.
Lay it on me. Have you got an incident?
This is our first incident. The headline, it simply says, we had a threesome, then I fell pregnant.
Okay.
Ooh. Oops.
So that's the headline.
Yeah, that's the headline.
So what's happened?
The results of a DNA test went a little bit awry when this chick had a threesome with her partner and one of his mates.
And his mates.
And
sharing's caring.
Sharing's caring. That's all happy news. She found out she was up the duff. Whoops-a-daisy after the DNA testing because she just said, oh, let me just think about the timing here. Mm. And
how's the guy from the threesome taking it? I mean, there aren't many rules, but I would have even thought when you put your hand up for a threesome, you're probably thinking,
I would imagine
that's off the table.
Yes, and a bit of protection might be involved. Mm. Would be my first point of call for
maybe she was having trouble getting pregnant. She's just taken a thought. Let's just pile on a few.
Do you know, I saw a mini-series like that.
And I'll save a fortune on IVF.
I did see a mini-series about that.
All right, Jane, well, what do you
Sorry
mean?
You know how I love my shows. I was binging watching some show recently.
About threesomes. More than one.
Go on.
No, a woman wanted to get pregnant and her partner, it was not happening. And then
she just loaded up?
Well, yeah. Just, effectively. Anyway,
went semi-automatic in the boudoir.
Listen,
that is a good.
As therapists, here's my advice to that
please.
One. Oh well, actually, it's.
Would you invite both guys to the birth? I mean, what do you do?
It
those?
Only
What's
seems
the etiquette?
Fair.
What's your,
I'd say
hey,
that's etiquette.
Hey, I guess I know who the godfather is.
One big happy family. He's now her ex-partner, by the way.
Can I say, that's going to be a great story for the kid growing up. Is it a little boy? I think it's a little boy.
Yeah.
Oh, so tell us.
Tell us
about the birds and the bees. How'd you get here? Well, it's a funny story. I bet you it's filmed. You can probably just show the footage.
You might want to call Uncle Jack to come along as we get this story together.
Uncle
All right.
Jack. Sure.
I don't know if I haven't been involved myself, so I can't tell.
Why?
Anybody
why are you watching a show about threesomes? Yeah. By
it's
the way,
it pops up all the time. This is this new generation where it's just happening. Oh, it's on for young and old, threesomes.
What were you watching it on? What format? What
time Netflix. Slot? It was a Netflix. I don't know what it was called. It's called Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce. There you go. Who would have thought something like that would pop up in that? Anyway.
All right, Jane.
That's the first
issue. When you go on a Netflix and it's got Jane's pics, just don't be very careful.
Exactly.
All right. What else you got for us?
I want you, seriously, we've got to treat this with the maturity it deserves, this next story.
Trust me.
This is in the Herald Sun today, and the headline simply says, horrifying moment, woman broke boyfriend's penis. and it's every man's worst nightmare. I can imagine. Now, he heard a loud, painful crack.
It's not me, Dave. You're getting us all in a lot of trouble here.
Sorry. We are getting a
loud,
trouble.
A loud, painful crack. Yes. So it's like doing your Achilles.
Well,
that's what they say. It feels like a shotgun blast. Bang.
She told the bedroom. She said the bedroom looked like a crime scene. the good news
was
is...
There was police tape up. There was a guy with a megaphone.
He was holding
Please.
Up the police tape.
Nothing to see here. Just a broken penis.
No, seriously. Look, why are we making jokes about if you break your arm, it's a bad thing. You break your leg. Why is everybody making jokes?
If you dislocate it, can you pop it back in?
Do you know what?
What happens? Do you have to put like a little bucket on it? You're like when a dog.
It's like those cones.
Like a cone. Like a cone around the end.
A cone of shame.
But imagine. Imagine being the attending. Imagine being the first responder.
Because it really changes.
It'd be another smacky.
Changes into a terrible colour. Changes colour. You know, I found, I was at the hairdresser
now it's
today.
Now it's chameleon-like.
I was talking about this at the hairdresser. And my hairdresser said.
How did that come up at the hairdresser's?
Because it was, you know, it's news of the day.
The bloke who broke his penis.
Yes.
Yeah.
She said, I know someone who's broken his penis too. And she said, this is what's happening and how it can happen. Apparently, there were these, look, I'm not saying this couple. I've got to be careful now how I word this.
Yes.
Sometimes when you take some pills, they make it difficult for you to do something and you need to take blue pills, right? And you might overload on the blue pills and that's when you're most prone to...
dinging it.
Yes.
Here's my question. Would you... You're going to be a bit nervous first time back up, aren't you?
And it takes a long time. It's like a 6-month recovery.
6 months. I'm guessing there's a cast in. There's a cast. I don't want to sign. Or it'd be a little caliper like Alan Marshall had, and I can jump puddles.
I wonder.
Imagine being a doctor. Imagine you spend all your life trying to become a doctor. His six years of medical.
Yeah.
Very disappointing.
And he comes on the gurney today. What are we
doing? I wonder if that's happened to anybody, any of our listeners. Has it happened?
I'm seriously not saying ring us up if you've broken your penis.
Well, I am, because I'm just fascinated.
1-3-5-3, if you have any issues, maybe.
And we're not going to make light of it. We're actually fascinated about recovery, things like that.
Of course.
Everything goes on.
I'm not sure this segment will go.
It was a good episode of House.
I don't know if we're going to have another Between the Sheets.
Oh, we will.
Give us
like
a call.
It.
Speak to our counsellors, Mick and Jane.
Here
if you've got
go,
a question,
guys.
We will treat you with the respect you deserve.
1-3-3-5-3.
Ever broken your penis? Dangerous.
Never done it.
Never done it.
No,
there's a few blokes out there who have. We'll get to them. This is the story of the day, right?
It is. This is our new segment. This is called Between the Sheets.
Yes.
Between the Sheets.
That's getting on the creepy side.
Did you do that?
Not at all. It was not me.
Okay. All right. Sounds like it was.
So what's the story?
The doctors are in the house where we're going through. There was a couple who were having a... bedroom
rooting.
Yes, okay.
I think you mean.
I was trying to think of the word to say. Unfortunately, the bloke broke his penis.
He did.
And we thought, is that a thing? Does that happen?
I think it is.
It really does. And we've got some callers on the line. Mm.
Yep, Rick's on the line. Hello, Rick. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. How you doing?
More importantly, how's your penis?
It's all working good now, mate.
So what happened?
Oh, look, it could have been about 20-odd years ago, mate. A little bit harder than I should have.
And how long were you no sniggering, dangerous?
No, I'm not.
How long were you out of action for, Rick?
I reckon it was only 12 months.
12 months, so it's like an ACL.
But see, Rick, I don't like the way that everybody's making fun of this. I'm taking this very seriously. You've not heard me snigger, because I think that sounds incredibly painful. Did you have to go to the doctor?
Yeah, I did. I did. I had to put it on the bench and get him to have a look at it and see what he could do.
Tell me, were the staff sniggering or did they take it seriously, Rick? How did they behave?
No, well, the doctor knew me pretty well, so he was quite prepared for it.
Oh, really? Had you been to him for a few other ailments?
Yeah. Sounds like you should keep him on hand for all your sexual encounters.
I did for years until he retired.
And can I ask, so you're out of action for a year. How nervous were you when you had to get back on the horse, so to speak?
No, that was no problem, mate. It was just...
straight back into it?
Ended up with a little bit of a crick in it for a while.
I think that's probably all the info we need, but Rick, good on you.
No, I'm still interested in it.
No,
first time back, obviously, degree of difficulty, you just...
I think,
I'm thinking missionary position or something. All
right, we don't need to go into that area now.
No, you get to deal with the situation, mate, and it's all good.
And very well handled then, Rick. Figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rick from Seaford. We've got Jim from Bacchus Marsh.
Jimbo from Bacchus Marsh.
What happened to you, Jim?
It actually didn't happen to me. It happened to a mate of mine.
Yeah.
So he done it the first time.
The first time?
Were you saying there's another incident?
And he kind of took the first time with a grain of salt. And we freaked out because, as the story said, it was a crime scene.
And okay.
This bloke was had decided to go to bed afterwards, still dripping in his own.
So he's woken up and it's like that scene from The Godfather with the horse's head.
So we've had to clean it up. Anyway, we go out the next weekend and we find out that he's done it again.
He's done it. Did he break it in the same place?
same spot. It's called, where he broke is called the banjo. Oh.
The banjo. Okay.
So I told you the show would become educational.
This is seriously educational for me. Thank you very much for that, Jim. We got another caller on the line.
I think he's dropped off.
He's just
Has
dropped
off. Yeah. Oh, I think because he might have had the same banjo analogy.
We've got him back.
Joe, is that you, Joe from Glen Iris?
Yes, it is.
What about you, Joe?
Yeah, same thing. Broke the banjo string.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm sure I'm going to start Googling. There's got to be a technical word for that.
And without being too explicit, what was the incident? It was a fairly rugged session.
Yeah, it was a fairly rugged session. A bit over enthusiastic.
And you've given it all, and then bang, early shower for you. How long were you out for, Joe?
Well, I was out for 2 weeks, and then I re-injured it.
Now, did you seek medical advice?
You should have got some laughs.
I did. They told me to wait 3 weeks, but after a couple of weeks, I kind of couldn't hang on any longer.
This is where the medical fraternity just throw their hands up in the air because you're not listening to the good advice anyway, Joe. You feel all right now? Everything fine in that department?
All good. Everything works now.
I have to ask, I wonder you'd find it hard, wouldn't it, to look at your partner? Like you're going, she'd have to get some kind of blame for it.
I'm not sure.
I'm trying to work out, you're coming back and you're a bit nervous and you're sitting there and you're looking across the table at a Lorraine Bobbitt type.
Lorraine to you.
Lorraine Bobbitt.
Oh, no. All right. Well, then
you'd have the medicos on hand, wouldn't you?
You'd have to.
You'd have to have the medicos on hand first.
Exactly. Well, see,
there
you go.
Have a doctor there pushing your bottom up and down.
Who knew that we could solve your problems? You're on Triple M. The doctors have been in the house. I'm hanging up my stethoscope for this morning.
This has been Between the Sheets.
Wow.
Between the Sheets. For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.
Helping small business grow is my passion. Hi, I'm Mark Boris, and I want to share that passion with you with my podcast, The Mentor. If you're into business, listen now on Podcast One as I get the stories from those just starting out and those on the verge of a major turning point. Join me for The Mentor, and I might just help your business grow as well. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Big night in our house tonight.
Why is that?
Because it's the preliminary final. Not the big one. It's the preliminary final.
The block.
Of the Bachelorette.
Oh, the Bachelorette.
Yes.
I have feelings for you.
Coming into this experience, I was looking for love.
I'd love you to meet my family.
Make every moment of this day count.
Yeah, it's getting hard for me.
This whole thing is a process.
If I don't give myself that chance, I might miss out on something really great.
Ooh. That is the beautiful Sophie Monk. She's been fantastic, I have to say.
You're a big fan of Sophie Monk.
I'm a big fan of Sophie because
I met her once. She seems
she's
a very nice person.
Top bird. She's also one of the most honest people in the whole world of bachelors and bachelorettes that we've ever had on. She's a.
That's not setting the bar too high, but
it's
good.
It's not bad.
It's clearly you like her.
I clearly like her. I also like her. She swears like a effing trooper.
Does she have a cigarette? She's got a gravelly voice.
She loves a fag. She's been papped a few times, the poor thing, trying to run away from all the bachelors.
She's a bit of a bogan, though, isn't she?
She's a self-confessed bogan.
She's in my book of bogans,
say.
Dave.
She is an excellent choice of bachelorette, I think.
Right.
Now, we're down to three.
Who's she got? How's it end up?
Tonight we've got to go through the final three left, and one's going to get dumped tonight. But these are the guys that she's got left. She has this bloke, Jared. Now, we've spoken before about Jared. I talked to you even when we were on the Hot Breakfast Show about Jared. And Jared's he's a family owner vineyard. He's a dashing, tall, blonde chap. Yeah. But he goes the blub.
He's a sookie lala.
He's a sookie lala. Let's just hear Jared after one of the parties that they had.
I need a minute.
You good?
No.
Oh.
Jared? You alright? Jared? Jared? What's wrong?
Oh, I just need a minute.
Don't get upset.
Is it because
that?
It just reminds me of my nana and my grandma. Who
feeling all gone now.
Oh, well, that bit's sad.
I just broke my penis. Can I? Now, no, is that attractive to you in any way? What do you? Well, could you describe the scene, though, visually? What's
visually
happening? Because you have to see this to believe it.
This was when there was grown men, about 10 grown men and Sophie in onesies.
In onesies. For some reason, she popped them in a onesie.
She popped them in a onesie. And
he's in like a zebra onesie.
Or a giraffe.
A giraffe.
It was a giraffe.
A giraffe.
And he was holding a little blankie.
He's holding a little blanket and he's going the blub. Now, I know men.
Yeah.
And that guy is cooked.
Yeah.
For all time, his friends. He cannot go out in public.
Horrific.
He can't show his face because you go, yeah, that's good, Jared. But what about the time you went the blub on telly in your onesie? You could be winning any argument.
But who
that's
knows?
True. That's true, Jared.
It might work.
You
it
might own
work.
A vineyard. But well, you know what? I never went the blub on telly in a onesie. You freak.
Poor Jared.
How many has she got left?
She's got two others to choose from. I don't believe Jared's going to be the one. No, he's not tough enough for it. Okay, then there's Apollo, and he's about 15. For a start, she's 37. I don't know. That's
male stripper. Or something.
Well, you know, forgive me if I'm a little cynical about the whole caper of Bachelor and Bachelorette. So they're not going on looking for love. I think some of them might be on to lift their profile.
Wow.
Well, wouldn't you know? This through newsflash, Bachelorette hunk Apollo to release debut single this week. What a crock. Sorry.
Oh, you feel so let down, Jane. You should go back to watching your specials on threesomes.
I predict Apollo Jackson's single Addiction is not going to get a run on Triple M. Just saying. Anyway, he's not going to win.
Who wins?
I think it's going to be this guy. Can I just set him up for
set
you,
him
though?
Up.
Before you hear from him, he's actually not divorced yet, and he's got 4 kids. What a catch. And let's just hear some small from kids from another marriage.
Okay.
Just a bit of baggage. There's a slight complication as well because Sophie's really keen to have a baby. Let's have a
look. I love kids more than life itself. I know you do too.
Yeah.
It's an admirable quality. You'd be a great mum, obviously. But I have to tell you, in the spirit of openness, because we've discussed briefly your... I don't know, wishes for children at some point, which is usual, everyone's the same.
Yeah.
So I was married and had 4 beautifuls and then had... I had a vasectomy.
At that point, Sophie Fairdinkum looks straight down the barrel of the camera and says, F, really?
When he said that. Was he wearing a onesie? So let me tell you this story.
Okay, so
he's had 4 daughters.
He's had 4 daughters.
And no wonder he had a
vasectomy. Clearly, he's had a vasectomy. He's not officially divorced yet. And he's also a self-confessed playboy in Sydney, where he lives. And he was seen out recently when she was away. She had to go away into Thailand so that she wouldn't blab who she's ended up with. And he was seen... kissing another woman.
Oh. Well, when you say another woman, you're presuming that he's going out with her.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Sounds like
there's
you do
no.
Know something.
I don't. I know nothing.
Sounds like you're onto it.
You're
accusing him of seeing someone else behind.
Well, I might be.
Sophie's.
I might be. Anyway, so that's there. They're not much.
Lucky
chop.
For that girl, he's had a vasectomy.
Exactly.
All right. Nice one, Jane.
Yeah, Bachelorette tonight,
Jane,
Channel 10.
I feel like 10, I'm up to speed.
7:30. You'll be watching, Mickey.
Who goes to the
blub
in a onesie, Jane? Tell me you haven't done it.
Where's my blankie?
I'm trying to explain the Bachelorette.
The Bachelorette chat has just been raging here.
Yeah. Because, Mixer, you're asking me too many questions.
How
what?
Does a guy who's got 4 kids and a vasectomy end up on the Bachelorette?
Because he wants to be on the telly. You know, there's a difference. I mean, honestly, do you think she's really going to get a good bloke who's gone on the telly being the Bachelorette?
Unfortunately, there's only a few of us going around. Dangerous.
Yeah.
You're saying that you could...
Supply is limited. I could...
Date Sophie. You could...
I'd break her heart. Or my penis. I don't know. Whatever comes first.
I did, yes. All right. Well,
we need to move on. We've been having a fascinating discussion. You were one of the people who got me onto this.
Onto Instagram.
Onto Instagram.
Yes.
You
and
said, go on, take the leap.
Got to take the leap because it's funny. And also, I'm fascinated by Instagram because I've never seen so many vain women in my life. Mm. And so I love it.
Here's the difference. So... I've never been on Twitter either. So Twitter's not quite nasty.
Yes, but
that would be the worst aspect of Twitter.
Absolutely.
You get trolled more on
Twitter.
Yeah,
the worst aspect of Instagram might be a bit show-offy. Have a look at, how good's my life?
Yes.
I'm on another Greek island.
Exactly. And that's the sort of stuff that we love seeing. You know, Liz Hurley is someone like that who's just blessed. Sure. And there she is, you know, in a castle somewhere in England, you know, with her puppies. Yeah. That's not a euphemism.
Did you say her puppies?
They're puppies. Doggies, you know.
Do you have a picture of that? But the fun is you can follow anyone in the world.
Yep.
And we were having this discussion. And we often start our day, who have you followed today?
Exactly.
And it always ends up with something interesting. And Dange, we'd like you to get involved.
Yeah, well, I've got one that I follow today.
You kick us off.
Yeah, this guy's got 23 million followers on Instagram.
Okay.
His name's Dan Belzerian. Now, he's a guy who's famous for playing poker. But he just lives the life of a playboy. So he just has hot chicks on a yacht in the Mediterranean with weapons, as in guns.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
every photo is him somewhere.
That's
amazing.
Be.
Private jets.
Is that aspirational, is it?
I don't know.
It's guessing he's a good poker player.
Yeah, he must be. But Dan Belzerian. Yeah, he's good, good to follow.
So okay, cool. If you wanted to follow him?
Yeah, just Dan Belzerian. That's where you find it on Instagram. Yeah, 23 million followers. So he's living the dream.
23 million. Good luck to
him. Awesome.
I like his style. But I'll tell you who I'm following
who
at the
are you
moment.
Following?
Dane Swan.
Oh, yeah. I follow Dane.
Dane's 84. Because he's a great bloke and he leads an interesting life, but more on a personal level, he's with Dusty. So I'm trying to monitor.
You want to make sure he comes home?
Every day I go, where's your Instagram shot?
Where are they now?
At Nobu in Malibu, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, that's
true. So they've come from Vegas. I heave a sigh of relief. They're out of Vegas. I saw some of the Vegas shots. He actually on his site had shots. So they went to Texas.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
I thought, that'll be quiet. So I dial it up, and there's a video of Dusty at a nightclub leaning over a railing, dipping champagne on everybody. I go, oh, God. Get him home, Swanny.
Come home safely,
Dusty.
So that's
Dane's 84.
That's
if you're a Richmond fan, follow him and you can get an update on the exploits of him.
Where are you up to? This is from our household. I'm like Victoria Swarovski.
Now, well, that sounds fancy.
Yeah, girls will know of the...
Sounds like a shampoo or something.
It does, no. The Swarovski jewellery.
Jewellery.
It's sort of crystal. They're not real diamonds. You probably can get real proper diamonds. Well, they're sort of cubic zirconia.
The
of
only
them.
Real diamond is a blood diamond, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah, great.
Someone hasn't been killed
while
getting it. What's the point?
These are... I'm sure you can get real diamonds. And, you know, I'll tell
you... What do you mean they're not a real diamond?
No, listen. I've worked out a way you can relate to this and know what they are.
What is it?
You know the Victoria...
It's like bedazzled.
No. You know the Victoria's Secret models, you know, the parade they have every year.
Yes.
You know, some
it's
of the
good parade.
The girls
I wish Moomba was more like that.
You know the women who come out with the jewellery encrusted
bras.
They're Swarovski jewels, okay?
Someone had a $4 million bra.
Yeah, that'll be it. That's
imagine
what
fumbling around in the dark trying to get that off.
Anyway, we've established what Swarovski is.
Okay.
Okay,
yep.
So this is the heiress, and she's just got married. She's pretty hot, yeah. She's from Munich in Germany. So when you read her, and she's super vain, and she just, it looks like she's traveling with a professional photographer, like, oops, just caught me on my yacht.
So she's got, a full-time Instagram team.
Absolutely. She's always fully made up. She's got about 13 Birkin bags. Do you know what a Birkin bag is?
Is it like a bookie bag?
What's the size of a bookie bag?
It's the size of a bookie bag.
But it's the most expensive handbag you can buy at the moment. Wow. It's like 20 grand a bag. Okay.
So she's got a bag. Dancing around that at a nightclub. You want to stay close.
Yeah.
She's got heaps of them. But no, her Instagram, she's like really twee. And she says things like, wow, 200,000 followers. I'm speechless. Thank you to everyone who supports me. Oh, piss off.
Sounds
one's
a bit
like
Melania Trump, I have to say.
She does it very close. There we go. She says things
how
like...
How many followers? 200,000 followers. What's a good dangerous? What's a good follower, number of followers? What do you need?
You've got to have millions.
Yeah,
millions.
If you're over 10 million, you're doing well.
Yeah, you're doing well. So she's in the waiting pool at this stage. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, some of our listeners also might have some interesting Instagram.
Let us know if there's anyone we should be following. By the way, if you want to follow me, Mick Malloy 66, what are you?
I'm Jane... L. Kennedy.
Sound like you didn't want to.
No, I know. I forget how to say.
Shady about that.
What's that line, Jane?
Underscore.
Underscore. Yeah. Jeez. Jane underscore L.
How about you,
Dange? What are
you?
I'm Dangerous Dave Triple M.
And I think you're up to 12 followers.
I have 1,119.
Oh, and you can follow us on Kennedy Malloy.
Correct.
That's pretty. That's pretty simple. That one too.
Swarovski, is it?
Yeah, it's Victoria Swarovski.
I'm on to that.
Good on. Get on it.
For Upside Realty, upside.com.au.
Ever get the feeling the world could be a better place but don't know how to do anything about it? I'm Amanda Tattersall. If you want to change the world, my Podcast One series, Changemakers, is the one for you. Stories from around the world that show change is possible and give you tips to help make it happen. Stories of people who've been shot at, jailed and threatened with life behind bars simply because they want the world to be a better place. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone.
Podcast One.
Here we go. Hey, we get a lot of feedback from the listeners. You, yes. You said something on the show. That what was the bag you were just talking about?
Birkin bag.
And is that what the...
That's the most expensive bag you can buy by Hermes.
And in the fashion suite, that would be your favourite item?
Oh, it's not necessarily my favourite, but it's not something, you know, when I've got five kids that, you know, just go, can I just spend...
There's no real sentimental value there, is there? You're just buying something you think's worth a lot of money.
Yeah. The problem is what?
I'm asking you a simple question.
What?
Well, what?
I'm worried.
Are some things worth more than the value that they have?
Of course. Really? I don't know. I'm confused.
Well, they are. Mm-hmm. You said this on the show. I think it was our very first show, wasn't it? So. Gavin on Instagram has already written, please tell me you still have that bomber jacket, Dan Kennedy, or pay good money for it.
Yeah, I'd pay good money for it too, but some asshole stole it.
Whoa. Now, what happened? Who stole the bomber
I was living
jacket?
In Richmond with a girlfriend, Pia, and we just got robbed one day. And they took jewellery from Pia and they took a Triple M bomber jacket from me because that's really all I had of value at the time. So I want that back.
The jewellery was Swarovski. What do you call it?
Swarovski.
Can I buy a vowel?
It wasn't there. I didn't have a Birkin bag to get robbed. But
I felt your pain, Jane.
Thank you, Mickey.
So I've asked around. I've put out the feelers.
What?
I've even spoken to the police.
What? What are you saying?
Have a look. I've got your
Oh, my God.
Back.
It's not.
It is indeed.
Oh, my God. Let me have a look.
Have a look.
It
is it the
is.
Same?
It is. Oh, my God. But did you steal it? That's what happened.
If I'd had that for 20 years, you wouldn't want that back.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Come on, Jane Kennedy. You're going to have to put that on and we'll Instagram it.
Yeah. Put it on, yeah. I'm taking off my floral jacket.
That.
Putting on the
I could feel your
now.
Pain. And
oh, Michael.
When I saw the photo, and the one thing I'd like you to do now is, can you do your hair like you did 20 years ago as well?
Yeah, that might not be possible. Although the mono brow might be a stretch as well.
Oh, look at you.
Look.
You look like
do
a
look
jock
cool?
from the 80s.
That's all I dream of looking
all
like.
All you
Michael.
Need now is some acid-washed denim.
Yes. And a mullet.
Yes. And a drug problem. And you are
I got
the
it
complete
covered.
Picture. Look at you.
Oh,
it's like when you put it on, look at you. You're like at
Let's
home.
Rock and roll. Where's some Foo Fighters?
Oh, come on.
I play next? Come on.
Wrap yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy on Triple M.
Sure is. Coming up very soon, Jane Kennedy.
Yes.
I can't even look at you right
Why?
Now.
Why? Why? I'm
in
so
your
happy.
Bomber jacket and
I'm
you
so
are
happy.
Literally beaming. I've never seen a young girl so happy.
I'm a
it's
happy
like Christmas
Bogan.
Morning.
Happy yeah. Bogan Triple M chick.
Coming
it.
Up, Dane, Dave O'Neill is going to join us. We're going to about to talk Muck Up Day.
Yes.
And we're going to have our showbiz report. And we're going to take calls. There's a lot going on, wouldn't you say?
Can't wait.
Hey, let's. By the way, look at, if you want to see Jane in her. In her bomber jacket.
Yep.
We've just Instagrammed it. So I'm Kennedy Malloy, Mick Malloy 66, and Jane's
Sam. Yes, no, this is the bomber jacket I had stolen many years ago when I was living in Richmond in a house, and they stole my girlfriend's jewellery, and all they took from me was a Triple M bomber jacket. And I've never gotten over it. And I had to wait until I got it back on air.
And it's a tearful return.
Mm. It is. This is better than a Birkin bag.
It's held the test of time. Would you wear that? On Cup Day with me to the Emirates.
Do it.
Do you want me to?
Go on.
Do you really want
that
me to?
That would be a great
and a beanie.
And your red dress.
Dangerous. You've got a Triple M beanie floating around.
100%. And a scarf. I've got Triple M socks.
I'm sorted.
If you had to choose between your bomber jacket and your red dress.
Oh, that's a tough call. I'll wear both.
All right.
Then I'll seriously score.
And you will be pashing. Pashing them all. Hey, listen, guys, I want to talk about Muck Up Day.
Yes.
Now, this happens this time every year. It's generally a bit of harmless fun.
It seriously is. And after all the pressure of year 12, it's a nightmare. All the parents have been through it. All the kids have been through it. And it's just, as you say, a bit of harmless and sometimes very inventive fun.
That's right. It's mischief. I love mischief. Anyone who can come up with a good prank is going all right in my book. Occasionally goes off the rails. There's certain schools star at this time of year.
Yeah, that would be the Xavier's. Scotch College, I think they have a pretty good go.
Who's Xavier got them at the moment.
Have they?
They generally come up with some kind of... In fact, they get warned about a month out now. I reckon they get, right, you lot, we guarantee you. I think one year they had an empty exam room because they did not let anyone...
Really? They just didn't...
...do their exam. You know what? When you get the brochures for your school, this is the week I would be looking at to determine how they behave in...
Yeah, what's the standard?
What's the standard? And if they're okay, this would go, that seems like a reasonable school.
If it's nothing beyond the shaving cream and the water bombing and things like that, that seems to be
egging, I think is...
It's not going too far, egging?
Well, no. Come on.
How do the hens feel about that?
It's not a good day for them. No, it's not. Muck-up day's not a good day for the hens.
They dread it.
Bentley Secondary College in trouble. The boys wore dresses to school and were ordered home.
Well, that's a bit...
It's overkill, isn't it?
That's funny. All the year 12 boys dressed up in dresses and the girls at the school wore shorts. But get this.
What?
The boys got sent home to change and the girls didn't have to leave.
In a week dominated by sexism in the workplace, there's a more glaring example you will not find. Why were they sent home? I mean, I've had a look at them and they're below the knee. They're not.
You can't. They've got no visible panty line.
That's
all you need.
Maybe they forgot their hats and gloves.
Perhaps they did.
Beyond that, do you remember Muck Up Day, Jane?
I do.
What did you do for your Muck Up Day?
We had, it was a particularly hot day, I remember, and we had a massive water fight, you know, and all the dresses got wet. Ooh. And
is this a girls' school?
Yes.
I like it. I don't know where you go in your mind, dangerous, but I'm enjoying this. Did the pillows come out?
We had very bad school uniforms, I have to say.
What was
yours? Bad, though. It was the grey and they were long. We weren't in the mini skirt sort of phase.
Well, who was?
Well, other schools, other tartier schools were. But you know what happened to us? What? Our valedictory dinner got cancelled because we had a bleeding water fight. That's going too far. Come on.
Water fight.
Lighten up, schools.
I would have thought.
What about you, Mickey?
Look, I've talked about this before, but standard rig. I stole the lime machine out of the workman's shed. You know, they draw the lines on the ovals.
Yeah.
And drew a huge dick and balls on the bottom oval.
Oh,
and my piece of resistance, because it was the Peninsula School, which is right beside Nepean Highway.
Yeah.
And I actually got witch's hats and took in all the traffic. It was right up through our driveway and it went through the school.
That's clever.
Back on the Penn Highway. But we were actually sitting in geography class and out our window was a cement mixer, a Greyhound bus, like a semi-trailer all queued up and all going, what are we doing here?
See, that's what I mean. That's inventive.
It's a load of fun. It is. Can I tell you my favourite? Mm. This is my all-time favourite and it involved Barry Humphreys.
Yep.
So it was not Muck Up Week, but it was O Week at university. Mm. And he was standing on the bridge above Swanston Street and at the top end of Swanston Street there, and he saw some tramway workers digging up the tram lines. So he looked at it and went, okay, here's a go. So he went down, spoke to the tramway workers. He said, listen, it's O Week at uni. There's a group of uni students. They're dressed as cops and they're going to come down here and arrest you. They go, thanks, mate. Thanks for the tip off. Then he rings the cops. He goes, there's a bunch of uni students dressed as tramway workers.
What's
that? Tramway workers. They're digging up the roads. Cops, thanks. He goes up, stands upstairs and watches
the onslaught.
Tramway workers and cops both accuse each
awesome.
Other of
being fakes.
Being fakes.
That's awesome.
That's what we're talking about.
We like. Who has had a really good idea?
A good idea.
Yes.
Nothing dangerous. Nothing
too silly. Nothing that ends up
give
in
us a
court.
Again, 133353. We're talking Muck Up Day. How have you covered yourself in glory on the big day? How much time in the planning did you spend? This is, as we said, it's harmless fun if it's executed correctly.
Exactly. And some people have got some really good ideas
indeed.
That they've done. And Matt from Mernda, tell us what you guys did in your final year.
So it was the year above me, I think. They got three pigs and... numbered them 1, 2, and 4,
right.
Released them into the school, and watch the teachers spend 7 hours looking for number three that didn't exist.
See?
That's genius.
That's a ripper.
If I was teachers, I'd go, we've taught them well.
Yeah.
That is hilarious. The elusive number
Fantastic.
Three.
Fantastic. Good on
that
you, Matt.
That makes me laugh a lot. We had a teacher who we used to call Piggy, and he had a combi van,
yeah.
which had the wheel on the front.
Yes.
The front. So we turned that into a pig face and stuck a curly tail on the end, and he couldn't get it off, and he had to drive home like that.
Oh, really?
people saw him driving through Mount Eliza.
Oh, my God.
Ah, good times.
Yeah. Reminiscing. Went a bit of, reminiscing. Okay. We've got Jennifer from Seaford.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
Good. What'd you do?
Well, it was a year above us again. We had to put up with it. It was another hot day, and they got fish oil and popped it in the air conditioning vent.
Ooh,
so we turned the air con on.
It's only a bit of goodie.
Oh, that's rough.
Takes a while to get out of the system, I would have thought.
The same year, they put chairs on the roof. Like, they took it all out of the classrooms and put them on the roof.
I like that.
See, again, something that's not too harmful.
If I'm moving furniture, I prefer to put it all in the pool. That's another discussion. Thanks, Jennifer. Matt's on the line. How are you, Matt? What'd you do?
For our mark-up day, we got a whole heap of witches' hats and safety barriers, blocked off the teacher's car park, made them pay to actually park their cars in there. And then with the money that we made, we just went to the pub at lunchtime.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. And again, that's good teaching.
Clever. And,
proud
of course,
of those. They've turned a profit.
Yeah, commerce.
Only those over 18, of course, would have tried to get in.
Oh, yeah, just those ones.
Indeed. Wayne's on the line. How are you, Wayne? What happened?
Good, guys. So this was back in the late 80s, before the internet.
Yeah.
And the only way to sell your car was to put it in the local free paper. The leader would come out once a week.
Yeah.
So we'd pull our money. And we advertised the principal's car. So it was a Catholic school, and he was a Christian brother. So we had the number plate as Bro 666. One fellow at owner, really low price, had to sell today, leaving town.
Hey, Wayne, any bids?
We put the school's phone number as the contact number, and the school got over 100 calls for it.
Oh, that's great. Awesome.
That's good. Cars feature a lot. I'm at Melbourne Uni, the first year of Melbourne Uni, and or some muck-up week or for some reason.
Yeah. I mean,
a bunch of guys in my year... disassembled a Mini Miner and then reassembled it upstairs in the library.
No.
And the whole thing, people were going, I just couldn't work out how you could get...
Is that from the engineering
how
department?
How you could get the car up six flights it could be... Because there was no doors big enough overnight, they've reassembled.
There was one last one I was saying about that one guy at Melbourne Grammar, he was a school captain on the last day, he rocked up on a horse.
Yes.
And just walked the horse straight into the classroom, apparently, because that's how the school captain on the very last day of the very first year the school ever existed opened, because they used to come on horses in those days.
Well, on that note, John Clark told me a story once. I think it was Oxford University, and this is maybe going back 10 years or so, and one of the guys sitting at an exam, when his final legal exam or something, had actually looked up the old constitution and worked out he was actually allowed to be... He was, if he asked for it, he had to be served a 3-course meal while sitting his exam, because that was back when the university started the rules. So he's called them over and he said, I'd like to order some food, please. They go, what are you doing? And he showed them the constitution. So all the masters went away and had a huddle, and they came back and said, you're right, you're entitled to it. So they bought him a 3-course meal during his exam.
Oh.
Anyway, when he got the exam paper back, he got a 0. And so he went into the masters and he said, what happened? He said, well, your scores were great, but unfortunately your sword wasn't in its scabbard during the exam.
Which was one of the other rules.
Which was one of the other rules. So there you go.
Excellent.
It can be fun, people.
It can be fun. Hey, we got Dave O'Neill coming up.
I bet you he got up to no good at muck-up day.
I'm sure he was inventive, though.
And we're not doing it alone at the moment. We've been joined in the studio by one of our good friends and bloody funny bloke to boot. It is Dave O'Neill.
Thank you.
So nice to see you.
You're looking great in the bomber jacket. You remind me of Bill Shorten at the Beaconsfield mining disaster. remember he donned the bomber jacket every day?
To look
the
casual.
Working class. What working class?
Well, that's just me. I'm a working class girl.
Yeah. No, it looks good.
Covering up his man boobs, he was.
Yeah.
Okay, Bill. Thank you for coming on board. And we're going to plug your book and a couple of things in a minute.
This Summer of 82 is my book, and it's actually about ending year 12. That's when I did. Believe it or not, that's when I did year 12.
So you're class of 82?
Yeah, we just worked out, Dave and I, well, we actually knew this already about each other. We both finished in the same year at school. So
Yes.
didn't go to the same schools.
No.
But it's the same era and things that I can definitely arrange.
You'd have been in the same circles. You'd have been mucking around up the Genizano into the pool. Well, Dave, I'm going to have a stab at this. Was it like a Collingwood tape?
We dreamed about Mitcham High School. Mitcham High. We dreamed of Genizano girls.
Did you really?
I talk about in here.
Don't live your standards.
We used to see private school girls on the train and they look so nice. That's what we said in the... Like the Mole Patrol, as they used to be called at Mitcham High. So,
the Mole Patrol. That's tough.
That is fantastic. Did you get involved in Muck Up Day?
Oh, yeah. Muck Up Day was big, but we were so naughty. I was telling my son, who's in year eight, they had Muck Up Day yesterday, and he loved just seeing the year 12 antics at his high school. But I remember starting in 1977 in high school, and Muck Up Day was fantastic because they just put up these, scaffolding in the hall, and all the year 12, they all had long hair, threw water bombs and flower bombs.
Yes.
At the crowd of students, and then they sang songs on stage about the teachers.
Yeah,
so there's one, they sang I Like It Both Ways by Supernaught about the guy that was a bit, you know, that kind of stuff. Then when we got to year 12, it got very, we were a very naughty year, and so...
They were waiting for you.
Well, we had a big party across the road.
They had the riot police out.
No, they had the police in the school in a car. And so...
preempting something.
Yeah, preempting what we were going to do. So we went to a party across the road and there was only two students who didn't go to that party, Charmaine Milton and Alan Johnson. I'm quite happy to name them on air because they had to study, whereas everyone else went, everyone from the school.
Yeah.
And so at about 3 a.m, we go, let's go home and see what the cops are doing. And they were asleep in their car.
Oh,
so
no.
We started rocking the car. And that's as good as our Muck Up Day got, because then we were shut down.
It's a good prank. You can only do it once.
Were they very forgiving, the cops? No. Did they eventually wake up? Or were
they
really
woke up and got
angry?
Really angry.
Angry Mitcham cops.
Oh, they weren't happy.
It was bad cop. Now, were you in a band at that stage? Because I know you got involved in bands very early.
I was in Noise Works. That's right.
Noise Works. What was your band?
Original singer.
Captain Coco.
Captain Coco.
Yeah, I
was. What was the playlist?
We played.
Ska. You were
Ska-ish. Yes, we were Ska-ish, but pop, you know, sort of.
Is that
ska.
Baggy Trousers?
Baggy Trousers, yeah, we played that. And we played a lot of originals. You know, we wanted to be cool.
Who was Captain Coco?
I don't know how we came up with that name, honestly. It was a bad decision. But my twin brother was the lead singer and I was the bass player. So I have a twin brother who...
Yes.
He was quiet. I was the bad...
Where do you keep
twin.
Him, mate? I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, we don't believe he exists.
Your twin. We both have twins. And I'd be coming to you for advice if I thought you were a twin.
I have a twin, yeah. But he's overseas. He lives in Switzerland and he works for the Red Cross. So he's been there for over 20 years.
So he's the good twin.
Yeah, he's a success story.
Or he's in a witness protection scheme. Either or.
But what does he do over there?
He used to work for the ICRC, the International Committee. So he would go in. He goes, it's very hard for me to explain what I do.
But why does he speak like that?
Because he's got this weird accent. It's like Kylie Minogue, transcontinental.
The El McPherson international accent.
He goes to me, I don't speak English on a daily basis. Anymore. I speak Italian, German, French, and some Portuguese, you know, so...
He sounds like a parody character in a movie.
He does,
and
he makes words up. He goes, I went to the Eiffel Tower with my children, but it was, I don't know, how do you say in Australia, a little bit too touristical? Am I?
Touristical?
Do you remember your first car was a Tirana? Do you remember that? Your first girlfriend was called Raylene? Do you remember Raylene, mate?
Mate, you know what a Chico Roll is,
buddy?
Yeah,
you're an Aussie, mate!
Oh, speaking of Chico Roll, I see you swing by the South Melbourne market on the way here for a dim sim?
Dim sim shop was closed.
Because if anyone... I would back, if anyone should put out like a Michelin-style guide to good fast food around Melbourne, you would be the
Melbourne
man
and Sydney and even Adelaide and Perth.
I should have an app.
Actually, that's a great idea.
Yes. Dave says, in South Melbourne, Dave's favourites, go to market for dim sims.
Dim sim, definitely. And even in Perth, I know a great bakery in South Perth. There's some great stuff all around Australia.
You're a master of the crumb as well.
Yeah, I had a book called Everything Tastes Better Crumbed
Well, I say that to my children whenever I serve anything crumb.
That's true.
You know what Dave O'Neill says?
Everything
yes,
tastes better
Mum,
crumbs.
We know.
Good on
we know. We've only heard it 1,000 times.
And is that like an academic... kind of prize winning thing. What about this one in front of me? Is Dave O'Neill, the summer of 82. You said this has been out for a year or so, but it's a damn fine read. What are you doing on the cover there?
I'm wearing a Devo hat.
Is that a signal for something that you might want to play or hear on Triple M today?
Yes, because I associate Triple M with Whip It, which was a massive hit in 1982.
Sure was.
And it's a great song.
And I know you're a Devo fan, Jane. Yes. And I went and saw them. You went and saw them as well?
Yeah, I did.
Festival Hall?
Festival Hall.
Excuse me. Yeah. Excuse me.
Sorry, you're in the room.
Junior in the room's
may
here.
May I interrupt? The first concert I ever saw.
Was Devo?
Was Devo. First full concert.
That's really?
At Festival Hall.
Yeah.
And I remember the opening.
We were all there.
We were all there. That's
that
spooky.
Is unbelievable. And do you remember the opening? Because they didn't come out. They just started playing all the video clips. And it was fun at first. Then people started getting really angry.
Yes.
Where are they? Where are they? And then working in the coal mine, all of a sudden the joint started rocking. And the screen went up and they were on the conveyor belts.
Look, I've signed both of your books, but please don't put him in the Brotherhood bin too soon. Because I had an experience the other day. I was in an op shop and my loving partner of 26 years says, your book's over here. And you've signed it.
Hang on.
I'm like, what? So I go and have a look. And I've signed it. And I've got, dear Glenn, thanks for your help. Cheers, Davis.
Glenn Robbins.
Good friend of yours. So I rang him up. I go, you know that book I gave you, Glenn? I just found it in an op shop. And there was a pause and he goes, yeah, I was robbed.
Dave, I will suggest to you do have to say to dear Jane.
Yeah, I know.
You
then
just
you could.
Do the scribble.
I know, yeah,
no, so I'm not putting up with that.
Yeah, you worked with Glenn. You worked with me and Glenn on my show, The Mick Molloy Show, which I enjoyed, and you were brilliant on that show. But I met your dad.
Kev.
Yes. Who used to appear. I'd sit on the couch with Dave.
Kev, yeah.
How is Kev? Because I always had a soft spot for Kev.
He's
great. A ripping fella.
He always asks after you.
Good on him.
Yeah, he's 82 now, and he is he's a Vietnam vet, he went last year. Anyway, it was on we say. No, he went in 1970. You don't understand this, Jane. He volunteered in 1970. Volunteered when he had four boys under eight at home. Yeah.
Well, I do understand.
Yeah.
That.
I know. See, Joyce got to go, love. But he
war as hell.
He marches every year, and he's got all these. I think he's getting more medals every year. To be honest. He's buying it on eBay. Because I was looking at it the other day. I'm like, I don't remember you fighting for the Third Reich, Kev. What's that one? But him and Mum still live in the same house that I grew up in. And Mum's had enough of cooking. Again, Joan, you can understand that. I'm the cook at home.
I've laid down the law. As soon as the last kid leaves school, I'm never cooking again.
Yeah.
Who's cooking for Kev? It's a bit late in the day for Kev to
Kev does the cooking.
He's
taking it up.
But don't men all love all this cooking business now?
Mum cooked. I worked today. She cooked over 20,000 meals in that small kitchen on that little chef oven for us boys and her husband. And now Kev's in charge. So I ring up the other day and I go, so what's for tea tonight, Kev? He goes, last night we had frozen pork pizza. It wasn't very good. And he goes, tonight we're having nachos. I'm like,
what?
Nacho? I don't think dentures and corn chips. Yeah, for dinner, a great combination. Yeah,
you tell Kev I'll be around. So now, the other thing I love about you, you're a very community-minded grassroots pillar of the community. Yeah. You're always doing something for your local school.
You did my school.
I had a great time meeting you and at your school.
Yes, and kids' school.
They were a great bunch of people.
They were.
And you do a lot of that, too. Don't you go and sit, you're going to a school fate again this week?
Oh, no, I've got a fate on the weekend. That's right.
For our kids'
school.
Where have you just popped
into? I've just been a spotlight.
As you do.
To get some supplies for my wife's running a stall and she needs. And spotlight, I think it's a.
It's not your first port of call.
I don't think men should go to Spotlight, to be honest.
I understand.
I bet you they
that.
Sell some good dim sims nearby.
That's why I went there. That's the only reason I went there.
But I met my friends of mine who you know went to this. What school was yours?
It's Spenceley Street.
That's right.
Yeah.
I went to that
fate.
And I have to say, and it'd been the first time I'd been to a fate since I was a child, and I couldn't believe.
Yeah. Oh, these
how
are
times
big
have changed.
They're big things. The fates.
They pull big coins.
But you can't. Yeah. You can't bring a plate. Like they're responsible. Handling of food.
No.
So I'm going. Where's the toffees?
Yeah,
where's
no.
the toffee apples?
Oh, yeah.
Where's all that stuff? No,
it's
because
gone.
I couldn't believe it. No, you can't do that.
If you have it,
can't
it's
bring
like
anything from home.
A big warning. It's like a skull and crossbones.
And you've got to put all the ingredients. If you're making a cake. They sell a lot of cakes, but you've got to put all the ingredients.
I use packet mix sometimes.
Use packet mix.
And then I just add like...
Your name is Mud.
I add real vanilla bean. And
but schools have changed since we all went, because my son came out the other day with a... fourth ribbon from the athletics day. I said, mate, you've seen the podium at the Olympics. There's not an extra bit on the end for you. Right? You're lost. You're a loser. Don't worry about it, mate.
Oh, no.
Go read a book while you're there.
Yeah, we're collecting a few of those.
fourth ribbon. But we, and the other thing that shocked me about high school was parent-teacher interviews. So,
wait for this.
This is what happens these days, Mick. The kids come along with you and sit next to you as the teacher lies about your child.
But also you say how fast it is. Have you got the fast buzzer one?
Oh, there is a bit of a ding-ding.
Yeah, we do one. It's like speed dating. It's speed dating. You go in and you've got to be, you're in your runners, ready to jump in. You've got 5 minutes and it's speed date. Bing, and then the buzzer goes, you've got to go to the next teacher. It's nuts.
My memory of parent-teacher interviews was that we'd all be at home hiding under the doona.
I'd go missing for days. I'd be very hard to get.
Dad station wagon screeching around the corner and the screen door just opening and him pulling his belt off. Where are they? He would come flying in the house, whipping that belt above his head.
Where have they gone?
Hey, but it turned out all right. You're a success. Yeah. You're a wonderful bloke. And
We love having you on.
We all got hit in
we're
the
all
70s.
Fine,
this book,
aren't we?
Summer of 82, my signed copy. If you don't want to buy a proper one, well, this will be in a
brotherhood bin
very soon. Mate, thanks for coming
in. Thanks, guys. The show's sounding great.
Absolute.
Good on you. Thanks, Dave. Cheers.
And we've almost done it.
We have. Ooh, almost
not
got
long
through
to go
Wednesday.
Now. What do you got?
I've got a bit of showbiz news, actually.
The Kennedy Malloy Showbiz Report.
Oh, who was that?
I don't know who that is. That is. Not very good.
Oh, you travelling back in time?
Apparently it is.
Well, maybe because we're talking about Mariah Carey, we are travelling back way back.
Is that your voice?
It's not my... I had nothing to do with it.
Dave's just denying everything we ask him today.
What's Pianola doing?
Nothing to do with it. I don't know.
Everyone meet me in my office.
I'm going to jazz that up.
We need something.
We need a bit of entertainment, a bit more jazzy. My parents will like that.
Imagine someone's dropping from the roof in a giant clamshell. You know what I mean?
All right, let me get on with it. Mariah Carey, as I mentioned, she was engaged to James Packer. We all remember that. Then
Mariah Carey.
Yeah. Then they broke up. I know it's hard to believe it happened. She was given a $12 million engagement ring.
Yep.
Which is 35 carats, which is effing huge.
Yeah, well, that's what it says on the packet.
When you open the box.
Would that be a blood diamond?
No, stop it with your blood diamonds.
Well, they're the only ones
that puts me off them.
If they're worth anything.
She used to flash it around, but of course they broke up. So what do you think would happen to the engagement ring?
We've discussed this before. What's the etiquette? Obviously you return it. If
you're
not married,
you do.
Well, so how'd that go?
No, she's flashing it around now. She's just been out and she's swanning around town, still wearing her $12 million engagement ring. Now, James has got a few issues in business at the moment. I reckon he could use a $12 million engagement ring.
He'll probably use that as a down payment for,
for something
or other. Gee, that's not good. Did I see a picture for her?
Oh,
is she promoting a new show?
She's coming out. Well, it'll be a terrific show. You know what? There's a lot of Mariah fans. You don't want to upset
Mariah Carey fans,
Mick. What are you doing?
Well, all I'm saying is I saw a picture, an ad for her appearance, and I thought it was an ad for a men's club. So look, have a look. There's the picture. It says Mariah, and she's lying down horizontal in a gold bikini. Show dangerous.
I don't even know if it's a bikini. I think it's a bit of gold.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's a gold tea towel or
that's
something.
That's gold fingers, is what that is.
Looks like an ad for gold fingers.
I don't know, but all of a sudden I'm keen to go.
It's the number ones tour.
She's a diva, right? And she knows
she's a diva.
I know this personally and firsthand.
What?
Because when a... You may or may not know this, but I hired an 80-foot boat and travelled around the Caribbean some time ago. The Lady Sharon Gale was the name of the boat, and I was with a mate, and we were following the Australian cricket team. They were playing the World Cup, and it was on the West Indies, and so we were island hopping.
Is this appropriate story to tell?
Island to island, and it was just me and a mate, and we had a boat that was 80-foot long, so it had three staff. It had a captain, an engineer and a cook.
Oh.
And we got them hammered one night. We set up, who was the last person on the boat? They said, I'm Mariah Carey.
No,
what was she like? She goes, thoroughbred bitch.
Wow, I'm sure
worse
the publicity department.
Worse than Rod Stewart.
Really?
That's all we ever heard. So apparently they were the two.
You're kidding.
That's where I told you I pulled into Mystique.
You
That's
did
the time I went to Mystique. I can't tell the story.
I haven't been able to get that out of my head for about 2 days. I was talking about Princess Margaret, where she used to go and hang, which was the Isle of Mystique. Yeah, and you told me, you said there are so many wealth, like houses were like over
it.
The top.
It's like it's not on this planet.
What goes on that island?
I can't tell you.
Do you know what I thought?
It
I
reckon we great.
Have, let's it's have a really competition. Good. The competition is we all go to Mystique.
Let's do an OB.
Let's do an OB. There you go. We've got that story. All right. And another story that is coming out. Someone I know who you love. Is Adele.
I do love Adele.
Hello.
Oh,
we do love Adele.
She is an extraordinary performer. I went to Etihad Stadium and I saw one woman stand alone on stage and entertain 40,000 odd people.
She's amazing.
It was in the round. Looks like a That's chicken right. on a rotisserie as she entertained everyone. But I mean it. It's not my style or genre, but what an entertainer.
She's great. And I love her attitude. I love her voice, everything about it. Okay, so she's going to soon possibly become Las Vegas's highest paid resident. Oh. You know how you do a stint there, like Celine Dion has done a stint
Elton
there.
Elton John did the last one.
Elton John?
Please, spare me. That's the only time in Vegas you're praying there's someone
no
on the
32nd
floor
stupid.
Of the Mandalay.
I'd be there.
Do me now.
I've been the front row.
Do it now.
Come on. I mean, wouldn't you, Dave, been the front row for Elton John? Yes. Well, I'll be
sure.
there. I'll be there by John, myself.
Siegfried and Roy, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to be there the night the tiger
No, that's not good news either.
No, you'd keep that ticket stub. I was there the night Siegfried got eaten by a lion.
Mauled.
Do you know what? If you took someone on that night, they'd say you took your kids, they'd expect that's how the show
That's right.
Can we go again, Dad?
After they get out of therapy. All right, so Adele's poised to earn $500,000 a show.
She's a keeper.
She is a keeper. So
they
want to sign her for a 12-month residency.
One and show a week, $500,000.
Yeah, it's $34 million bucks a year US that she's put, and she's thinking about it. Don't know. Is that's
but
my
she's got
Adele
kids,
voice.
Hasn't she?
Oh yeah, she's struggling with her one toddler. Life's tricky. Oh, talk to the hand, Adele.
$34 million to just about cover childcare for a year.
Can I tell you? I've just got an update. Another quick story that's out.
So you look great in your bomber jacket.
Thanks.
Sorry,
Mickey.
I'm getting distracted at all.
Really? Have we got it on Instagram?
You're taking me back in
Kennedy
time.
Kennedy Malloy Insta. You can see a picture of me.
Do it.
Oh, I forgot to brush my hair and put Lippy on. Never mind.
Yeah, nothing new there.
Cate Blanchett's in the news today, Mick. Cate Blanchett has been a special speaker at the Impress Fashion Awards, she's come up on stage.
You've crossed paths with her before?
Oh, a few times.
I get the feeling there might be some history there.
There's good history. I've had dinner with Cate, but that's another story. That's
it's
another
a good
story.
Good one, people.
All right.
Wow.
Cate has got on stage and she's told, in light of the Harvey Weinstein and the sexism that's in the industry, everybody's banging on about that now.
Okay.
She's got up and she said, "We all like to look sexy, but it doesn't mean we want to .. you." And that's the big statement from Cate Blanchett. She'll be all over the news. She'll be in the papers tomorrow.
That
and
she'll
she's
be the
like,
ad for her new
woman
fragrance.
Of the year.
She's supposed to be her new... Next time she's on the cover of Dior. All right, are we all done? Are we all
We're
dusted?
We're all done.
What's that? There's another harmless. We've got through that, haven't we?
That seemed to go pretty quickly.
Hump day?
It was great.
Wednesday hump day,
hump
gone.
Day. We're
done and
Dave
dusted.
Dave O'Neill, thank you very much.
Yeah,
you're
awesome.
A ripper. All our callers today. Thank you, Dangerous Dave.
You're more than welcome. Missed any of the show. Job. You can catch up on the podcast as well.
Awesome.
We on
how
iTunes
do you get
now?
That?
On iTunes.
Yeah, what about my friends who don't know how to do all that?
All right, we can step you through it. Just give us a ring here.
You go on an app store and you download it.
You're confused.
You go to the app store. Very easy to find. Go to the Facebook page and we can put the links up
All
there
right.
so I get you there.
Easy Have a good night, Mickey. Have a good night, everybody.
What
I'm glug, glug, glug.
Upside Realty, upside.com.au.